Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio program. The Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV, the coolest software to have if you want to take content from a DVD and bring it into Final Cut, QuickTime, Final Cut Express, iMovie, you name it. Very cool. Check it out. DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place for a brand new MacBook or MacBook Pro, a hard drive upgrade. They just released a brand new 160 gigabyte serial ATA drives for a MacBook or MacBook Pro, so you can check that out at mcetech.com. And our media partners, a popular photography and imaging magazine at popphoto.com, American Photo at americanphoto.com, Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals at creativepro.com, Mac Update at macupdate.com, the official printers of the Inside Mac Radio Show, Printing for Less at, of course, printingforless.com, and the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're here with Scott Shipper and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
Yeah, how's things been going?
Not too exciting this week. Not much going on. No traveling, no nothing. I know you were down in Orlando this week.
Been in Orlando all week doing a big shoot.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
We got some people that you've been working with on the show today.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff, actually. We have a very cool guest. In our second hour, we have Peter Lasser. Peter is a sports producer. He was ABC World of Sports from 78 to 88. He's worked with the Atlanta Braves U.S. Open, 9-time Emmy Award winner. He was the producer-director for the Summer Games of the Olympics in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Sydney, Athens, the Winter Games in Lake Placid, Sarajevo, Calgary, Lillehammer, Salt Lake, you name it.
I think it's Lillehammer.
Lillehammer, yeah.
Yeah.
Lillehammer. Yeah.
Isn't that David Lawrence's co-host, Lillehammer?
Lilly von Stupp. It's his producer. His and clients include, NFL Films, NTRA Productions, Wintercom, that does thousands of hours of programming for ESPN, the United States Diving Association, NBC Sports, ESPN, Fox Sports Network,
everything.
All kinds of stuff.
If it happened, he was there.
Peter's been around a while, so it's cool. So we're going to talk about, he's got a brand new gig they're doing. That his company's doing, this Lasser Productions. And it's like a fighting league, and I don't know the exact name, but he'll tell us all the details. But so it's cool. I mean, they do these things. These are 7-camera shoots in a mobile television truck, live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Triac cable, the whole thing. But what's cool that ties in with the Mac is they shoot their features on an HVX 200, edit in Final Cut Pro on the fly, and then boom, they throw it into the television truck, into the feed.
Yeah, and these guys are using the multi-million dollar. If you saw the NAB video that we looked at all the cool gear, you'd have seen this television truck that they use, which is really cool. It has like 100 monitors.
The NMT mobile television, all digital.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can take tons of feeds in, and they got guys running everywhere. Like I said, it's a 7-camera gig. So, but it's cool they're using the small handheld high-def camera, but they're shooting in DVC Pro 50. That is still standard definition, regular 4:3 television, mm-hmm. NTSC size, but it's 50 megabit instead of 20. So they have the 422 color space. They edit this stuff, and they do all the graphics, and everything's done on the Mac, all mm-hmm. the stuff for the whole programming. Then they take the feature packages and put it in with the stuff from the truck. And that's how they get their feature stuff out of the program.
Mm.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and what else we got going on?
We got Peter. He's, like I said, he's a cool dude. We have, of course, our normal guys are going to be with us. We're going to have Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz.
Yep.
Andy Schall's going to have his graphic tip of the week. We got Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Doug Zolman. He is from Oak Street Software. He makes a very cool plugin for Final Cut that's a vector-based keyer.
Yeah.
For the Macintosh.
Well, this is actually, as I understand it, this is actually will work not only in Final Cut, but this is actually a QuickTime filter, so it will work right out of QuickTime Pro even.
Yep.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool piece of software, and it's only like, what, $89?
$67. I mean, nothing. Yeah, like,
for what it does, it's pretty cool. So we're going to talk about that because that's a cool thing. Everybody sees these things on TV, and, when they make movies, these green screens. So we're going to talk about green screen, how the whole thing works. We're going to have Jack Howard on from Popular Photography Magazine talking about the Photographer of the Year award winner. They had this big thing they just got done doing in New York City, so we're going to talk about that and all kinds of great stuff. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, and they got their beta out that I think should go gold master here any day soon. You know,
universal binaries. Oh, excellent.
You get Tech Tool Pro, you can work on your MacBook Pro or
excellent.
Whatever.
That's fantastic.
And they're going to have a DVD out soon that's going to have like one side Mac, one side Intel.
Oh, that's great.
So you'll be able to work on, no matter what you have, you can boot off it and all that kind of cool
stuff.
Yeah,
we just now need the 2 gigabyte protege that can fit both sides.
So you can go.
The IT people can just walk around and recover any kind of Macintosh.
Yeah. Cool stuff. So, yeah, you can check all that stuff out at micromat.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. Philip, how are we doing today?
Scott, I'm in the mood to rant, so can we rant?
Please, let's get it.
Let's go it.
Today's Mac Angry. Get after it.
Get it.
Well, this week, just recently, there's been a whole lot of people doing stuff and writing and legislating about things that they have no idea about. I'm not going to go into Senator Ted Stevens' total rant and ludicrous statements about the Internet, except for to say this man has no idea about the Internet, and yet he's head of the committee that's reviewing the legislation to regulate the Internet. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, there you go, another line of you-know-what.
Yeah.
That's good. That's our government for you. It's just great.
Well, they managed to slip the broadcast flag back into legislation, you know. What's this onerous copy protection scheme doing in the middle of a telecommunications bill?
Hiding so that you won't notice it.
So nobody will see it. And so that it will go through, so that we'll get this horrible piece of legislation that will mandate that everything that can take an analog input, be it audio or video, has to respect this broadcast flag. So if you're out in the street shooting and a car goes past with boombox blasting, mobile boombox going with something commercial on it, your camera's going to shut down. Your audio recording gear is going to shut down. You're taking some pictures of your cute grandchild as they go in front of the TV. The moment the TV comes into shot, your camera's going to shut down and you're going to miss that moment where the child first walks. Just stupid, 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 bought and paid for legislation paid for by the IRAA and MPAA.
Yep, losers.
Yeah. That's, well, I mean, you know, generally, I mean, I understand the whole copy protection thing, and I think that's, I think it's great because people need to get paid for their work. I mean, I totally agree with that,
yeah,
but
you know,
it's going too far.
I don't, because it doesn't work.
Yeah, oh, no, I mean, I...
There's a copy protection scheme in the world that isn't going to be broken by professional pirates, and the ludicrous nature of keeping honest people honest is just stupid. By definition, they're honest.
Yeah.
All the reporting says that people who actually preview music that they download and share it, they're the people who buy the most of the product they're trying to sell. Pay money. They're their best customers. Don't get me started. I'm in the mood to rant.
So what else is going on out there in the digital production buzz space?
Well, the other thing is like an article from Martin Williams at IDG News Service about how AVC HD format is actually starting to catch on. And this is the H.264-based 8-centimeter optical disc and current DVD format. People like, you know, Canon and Pioneer and Samsung and Sharp are getting on board, and this is all good. And, you know, Adobe and, you know, Sonic Solutions and New Leader starting to talk about maybe supporting it in the editing side. Unfortunately, Apple are not yet in that. But, you know, it comes out with this totally ludicrous statement. It's, you know, Panasonic and Sony have come out with an AVC HD, which stores a high-definition MPEG-4 AVC H.264 coded signal on an 8-centimeter DVD. The disc is compatible with existing DVD drives and should play with the current software either installed on a computer or as part of a firmware update in a DVD player. You know what? That's like saying pigs could fly if only we gave them wings.
Well, wings and a new jet engine strapped to the back of them, they'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, A, there's no provision in the standard DVD specification for H.264, so before we can add it to a DVD player in software or update the firmware to play back that signal in your DVD player, it has to go through a couple of years of approval process. I just wish people would not write about stuff they obviously have no idea. Better to just copy and paste the press release and be thought to be not unknowledgeable than to actually write about it and prove that you know nothing about what you're writing.
Now, where did you find this fine article at?
It was actually at Macworld.
Oh, nice. The whole IDG guys over there... the center of misinformation.
Well, normally they're not. Normally well, I have much higher respect for the guys over there at Macworld, but this one just really stood out as, my God, Martin Williams, just go and do a little remedial research before you write. Anyway.
Maybe he's buddies with Ted Stevens.
Maybe he's buddies with Ted Stevens, exactly. Hey, but during the week, Sony have released their XDCam HD import component for Final Cut Pro. So now you can bring in the 25 megabit per second off your optical disc HD and work with it in Final Cut Pro.
That's cool. Yeah, that's
cool.
Good.
That's
yeah.
Very cool. And DV Garage have released Conduit. And Conduit, if you remember, is this really neat nodal compositing tool for working currently within Motion 2. So it adds shake-style nodal compositing to Motion 2. But in a future release of Final Cut Pro that supports the FX plug, it's going to work there too.
Yeah.
Really?
That'll be nice. Yeah. They make good products. Nice. That's a really good company. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because their DVMAT Blast is a real-time chroma keying plugin that works also in FX Plug, which doesn't currently work in Final Cut Pro, but buried deeply in the Apple site, you'll find that the FX Plug is to be rolled out across the entire Pro Apps line, and that means that in some future revision of Final Cut Pro, we will see support for this real-time graphics architecture that does the compositing work on the graphics card from within Final Cut Pro. So I can't wait to see that, but in the meantime, you can work with Conduit inside Motion 2 and get shake-style nodal compositing there.
Now, why would I want that if I can just buy Shake for $4.99? How much does this plug-in cost?
Oh, well, here's the difference. Here's the reason is because, the more things you can do within one application, like Motion, I mean, Shake doesn't do motion type of graphics. So the more things you can do within one application, the more productive you'd be.
Exactly. I mean, Motion is great for, time-based, linear, whereas compositing with Shake Shake's strength is vertical, stacking up on the one scene with very little linear change. That's the main difference between the two, and that's why I'd want it. And Side Effects have released updated Houdini 3D, if you're actually into 3D. That's not exactly a cheap deal at $10,000 because that's their discounted version. So,
it's like, go buy Kinemac.
Yeah, go buy Kinemac instead. That's a much more affordable 3D for what most video editors and what most people in the real world want to do with 3D.
Yeah.
And you get some cool stuff too. That's pretty cool, but it's kind of out of the pocket of everybody, I think.
Yeah, $10,000. I mean, you can go get Maya for cheaper than that, or Lightwave.
I don't know. They want to make it a very exclusive tool. And of course, we've got SIGGRAPH coming up in Boston at the end of the month.
Now, are you going to go?
I'm not going to go. I've actually got one of my buddies up there going to shoot some video interviews for me. That was far more cost-effective than flying across the country. I've done enough of that in the last 3 days, the week, to say, Scott, how do you keep up with it? You're always around the country. You must be sick of the inside of an aircraft.
Yeah, well, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, but he gets to do all the fun stuff, That's the advantage, is to fly out and do the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the fun stuff like going to Florida where it's humid and hot and you want to stay inside and not go and visit and see anything.
It was very hot and humid. It was 90 degrees and raining.
Ah, so basically the water was coming down but evaporating straight up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly. You can catch more of this good information on the Digital Production Buzz on Thursday night. Catch us live 6 to 7 p.m. on digitalproductionbuzz.com or catch us in the podcast in iTunes.
Philip, thank you so much. There you go. Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, with all the cool stuff going on in the world of pre- and post-production in the world of video. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've created some great content, you want to pull that back off of DVD and use it somewhere else, this is what you need. You can check it all out at DVD-XDV.com. Right now, we're here with Andy Shallett, the Mac Design Out of the Box author, with his cool tip of the week. Hello, Andrew. How are we doing?
Great, Scott. Great. Listen, I finally got my hands on the MacBook, and
cool.
It's been a great education for the last week or so.
Tell us all.
We got a few things that designers and people who use screen grabs, I'm a big advocate of using screen grabs, and if you read the book, I show you how to do it to a great effect. But usually when I'm doing a professional-level screen grab, I use something called Snaps Pro by Ambrosia, and it does not work on the Intel machine. So that's one caveat. You got to know that if you are using some things, make sure that the things that you rely on are compatible with the new Intel machines. That's one thing. But something very interesting came up. When the MacBook arrived, it had the standard 80 gigabyte hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and RAM was only 512. And since I'm so impatient, instead of sending it back and waiting for them to redo it, what I did was I went out and I bought 120 gigabyte hard drive and put it in myself, because it's really three screws and you're in, and that's it. Very easy thing to do.
The thing is,
it costs less than if I bought the upgrade from Apple directly.
Yeah, so well, I know that.
Apple says, add $200 to the price, and they'll put in the 120 instead of the 80.
And keep your 80.
Now, here's the trick. I bought it for 180, and I get to keep the 80.
You keep the 80, yeah.
Now, here's a little extra bonus that I've come across. Newer Tech came out with something called a USB 2 Universal Drive Adapter recently. It's $24.95, and what it is it allows you to take drives like that one that you just extracted, or any that you have lying around, 2.5-inch, 3.5-inch, doesn't matter, and it plugs in, and you can use them bare, so you can plug them into your USB port and use them as externals without having an enclosure.
That's cool if you want to just copy a bunch of stuff off and throw it on the shelf.
Exactly. Or if, for instance, somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I need to transfer this thing over, you can take it, store it onto their old drive and do the transfer, which is what I've been using it for. But it used to cost about $130 from Weebitech, I think. They had their professional levels for IT guys, but this thing is $24.95, and it works with SATA drives. And by the way, that's a very important thing. If you're going to order a new drive, make sure that it's serial ATA and not just the standard, what is it, ATA IDE?
Ultra ATA.
Because the new ones are those simple little plugs, which is great. Apple has definitely made a great adjustment over to that format. But this is a very interesting thing. RAM, as far as the prices on RAM, Apple's giving you the same deal as RAM that you're going to get anywhere else. They're very easy to switch, but the main thing about these new MacBooks is that they are real easy to work with. And they are RAM hungry because of the video, because they don't have a separate video. As a designer, I need... You know, I'm working in Photoshop, and I'm going to be looking at this beautiful new bright screen, but if I had only 512 megs of RAM in it, it wasn't going to play. In fact, it slowed everything down to glacial speed.
Now, what about the graphics speed? Because there is no graphics card, you know, per se, dedicated, and it's using the main memory, what do you feel about the graphics now it's fully loaded?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now what I've done is I put 2 gigs, which I think is the minimum it should be. Get the 2 gigs. It's got to be, you know, you get it. You have to get 2 separate gigabyte chips, and you put them in. That takes 2 seconds, and it's good. It's excellent, actually. The speed is fine. It's amazing the difference between having 512 and 2 gigs, because it does have the space to allocate. I felt like I was back on my old Mac SE, where it had, you know, just no video RAM at all, and I had to wait for things to build. So as soon as I put in the 2 gigs of RAM, the thing flies.
Cool. Thank you very much. That was Andy Shallett. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by MCE Technology. If you want to get a brand new 160 gigabyte drive for your MacBook or MacBook Pro, right there, check them out, MCE Tech. That's mcetech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
Oh, man, are they cool. A lot of cool stuff today, of course. A lot more iPod stuff. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. When is it ever going to stop, Scott? You know, it's like the juggernaut of iPod gizmos. I don't think it's ever going to stop.
It won't. It's capitalism. It rocks.
And with that in mind, our friends at Belkin, we ran into, at E3, we ran into Macworld Expo. They've come out with a number of different cool products for the iPod. Some of them are as simple as the iPod carabiner case that they came out with, and it's a pretty simple design. It fits the Nano, comes in several different cool colors, and it's just very, very simple. It's leather, it's got a carabiner hook on it, and I like it because it gives full access to the iPod, though it protects it as well, and it's got a nice hook. So if you're traveling, if you want to put it on your backpack, your belt, you just snap it on. I think it's pretty useful. I like it. The other product they came out with is called a kickstand case for the iPod video. I don't have that, but we did. Scott, you and I did play with that. It bends over and becomes a kickstand for the iPod, and I actually think it's pretty cool. It comes in black, white, and pink. I like what they've done. Belkin is a huge company. They're about a $1 billion company, and they purport that almost $100 million of their $1 billion in revenue goes to iPod peripherals.
That's a lot.
That's massive. Major thing. That's why Microsoft is trying to, with their new little XPod or whatever, they're contacting all these iPod vendors and trying to get them to come on board. But
right. That's what I've heard.
I can't verify
that they've done that, but I've heard that. Also, it's just going to ship in the next 2 weeks, is Keyspan's AV dock for iPod. Now, they came out with the AV dock, the original one, which is RF. It absolutely smokes any other dock that I've used so far as just a normal dock to play video and audio, but this one is in black. It's complete jet black or piano black with an RF remote, 9-button RF remote, and it's beautiful, guys. I was at Keyspan yesterday. I saw Mike, the CEO. He showed it to me. If there's a remote to use for your iPod, this is it. It doesn't show the music, you know, on your screen. It plays video if you plug in an optional S video cable to your monitor or TV. It'll show video and of course audio. But the beauty of this is it's RF. And if you've ever used an RF remote, you will never go back to an IR remote. To me, it's awesome. It's $99 from Keyspan. And then lastly, our friends from, who are these guys? H2O Audio, H2OAudio.com, have come out with waterproof headphones called the H2O Audio Waterproof Headphones. And you can literally use these underwater. I know it sounds crazy, but with the waterproof casing, which I don't have and have not tested it, OtterBox is distributing this product. You can go underwater with an iPod and listen to music. Now, I know it sounds crazy. But,
yeah, but if you're a diver and you want to listen to some tunes while you're looking for the Titanic.
I haven't gone under the water, but you know what? This is much more useful, in my opinion, if you're outdoor, you're at the beach. Then it's really useful. It's rugged. It's really nice. It's available today from OtterBox.com.
Hey, Sammy, thank you so much. There you go. Sam Levin with his great cool Mac picture. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want the coolest place to get everything you need to know about digital photography, imaging, even film stuff still, you can check them out at Popular Photography at popphoto.com. Right now, we have a very interesting guest. We have Doug Toltzman. He is from Oak Street Software, and they make a very cool DV plugin for Final Cut, QuickTime stuff, but it's a vector-based gear. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
How you doing, Scott? I'm doing fine.
Good. So tell everybody, let's talk about, before we get into the technical stuff, let our listeners know what this whole chroma key stuff is. I mean, they've seen it on TV, they watch the evening news, and they see the weather guy all the time. But tell us about this green screen thing, and then let's get into what your software does. It's different than what other things are.
Chroma keying is essentially the process of telling the computer or the hardware key or whatever it is that to pick a color and make that color go away so that it's transparent and allow the background or whatever layers behind it to show through. It just allows you to composite one image on top of another and selectively, you know, like in the case of the weatherman, you want to see the weather map behind him rather than the blue screen.
Right. So that's what they do there. Now there's other keyers, or this type of technology is built into all kinds of different software.
This is really old technology. You know, they've been doing it in hardware for a long time, and we've got discrete combustion's keyer, which is a good one, and After Effects, and Final Cut has its own native keyer. There's lots of keyers out there. The problem is that DV video or mini DV has never been considered keyable by the pros. So a lot of the professional keyers just ignore mini DV. Mini DV being really low chroma quality, it's not an easy thing to key.
Yeah, so effectively what it is that in the what they call the luminance channel or the black and white portion of the video, because video actually is made up of a black and white image and then the color is sort of overlaid on top of it. The keyers use the color part, and the color is about a quarter of the resolution of the actual video itself.
Exactly. Essentially what my keyer does differently is it works really hard to trace the luminance, which we have the full resolution, and sort of extrapolate the color information based on how the lines are, you know, seen in the luminance. So that it tries to extend the color in a more intelligent way than just sort of blurring the color.
Yeah, because if you've ever tried to work with Final Cut Pro with DV, it is really hard to get a good key with digital video, or even really HDV for a large extent.
Well, and that's the other problem with the existing keyers is they have a zillion controls, and most of them are pretty much superfluous. I don't think you need to adjust them, or if you do need to adjust them, you never can quite figure out what they're doing.
Right. Now, what makes the difference in what yours is a vector keyer?
Well, now that's another interesting thing, because it's almost it is different in how it works, but there's not a huge difference in the end result. What the key difference is that it creates a gradient key rather than just an on-off key. You don't either have entirely opaque and entirely transparent. You actually have gradations in between opaque and transparent. And they're based on the color vector. It's just a fancy word for the exact color. So as the color changes from green to something else, it's especially important on fine detail like hair. Hair essentially is transparent. Even though you see it, you sort of see through it because it's so fine. And so what you want the keyer to do is you want it to more or less key the hair out, but still leave it there at least a little bit in order for it to sort of blend with the background. Otherwise, you'd have to just key it out completely, and the hair would be gone.
Mm, yeah, especially like blonde. If you're using a green, what I've seen horrible examples of is that you have someone, long blonde hair with a green screen. Exactly. It just disappears. It just fades into nothing.
And the other problem you have is with the just on-off effect, sometimes you get a cutout look.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we were working with, for the NAB stuff, we were working with really nice stuff from Reflect Media, and I was trying to key that in Final Cut Pro, and I was having a terrible time with it, with their built-in plugins, because yeah, there are a million adjustments to it.
I'm surprised that Final Cut Pro doesn't have a better keyer, because when I was looking at the scripting language in Final Cut Pro, they actually have a vector key function call as part of their scripting language. So you think, well, they can do a vector key. But I think a lot of it with the low-resolution video comes down to the additional processing.
Yeah, because it's a different thing. But your keyer is extremely affordable. I mean, this is something that you don't even have to have Final Cut Pro for. You can use QuickTime Pro. Can you do this in iMovie?
iMovie doesn't support QuickTime plugins because it doesn't do layers.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I wish you could, because that would be a really cool market. Yeah, I didn't want to. That was the other thing, is Combustion had a good keyer, and I probably could have used Combustion's keyer, but I said, you know, this is ridiculous. All I need is a keyer, and a keyer shouldn't be that expensive.
So what's the difference when people are shooting this stuff? I guess to start with, before they even start to get to the keyer, there's the blue screen and there's green screen. Does it just matter maybe what the talent's wearing for the color of clothes, or what's the difference between guys using blue and green?
Well, there's a big difference with video, because the way video records color in YUV, which is luminance and then the difference of red and blue, it actually ends up with having all the green information merged with the luminance, so you end up with more green and better green resolution than you have blue and red. So that's an advantage with video for the green screen. So if you can use green, that would always be the best choice for video. If you're going to have a subject that's going to be green, like a plant, obviously you'd have to use blue, because otherwise your subject's probably going to key out. And then the other thing to consider is, with my keyer anyway, is I happen to have really good green suppression in the keyer, which is another important feature that you have to have, is to get rid of that green spill. And I don't have blue suppression, so another good reason to use green.
Yeah, that's true. Now, is this an installer process that puts it in for you, or you just need to drop the plugin into the plugins folder for Final Cut, and then it just shows up as a function in Final Cut?
Actually, you drop it into the plugins folder for QuickTime.
Right.
In the root of your drive, you've got a library folder that has a QuickTime folder. You just drop it in there. I don't have an installer. I just have instructions for how to install it. And once you do that, it'll show up as one of your QuickTime plugins. So in Final Cut, when you look at your effects menu, there's a QuickTime menu under the effects menu, and it'll be in there.
Now, have you had any big customers using this for any particularly neat situations that you've seen so far, or is it just too new?
Well, I haven't had any huge... I mean, my customers involve a couple of television stations. I've got a couple schools using it to do... Because for them, it's really cost-effective at the high school level. And then I've got a couple of producers who I've talked to. Call them producers. They do, different types of advertising things. And so they've done... One's done a music video with it. Another one's done a video with a dentist, a promo for his orthodontic products. And I get to hear from these people, and they've done some cool stuff, and they've told me that they couldn't do it with the tools that they had. So it's pretty heartening to hear that stuff.
Yeah, one of the examples that I saw, which was really impressive on your website, is that they're able to hold a glass and keep the reflection of the glass in front of the green screen, which is just incredibly hard to do.
Yeah, and that's the vector keyer aspect too. It'll actually give you the gradation, so you get kind of a nice sort of transition from opaque to transparent.
Now, how is a school using this? That sounds really pretty interesting.
You know, they don't tell me. They just tell me that they're installing it on X number of boxes, and they're going to be showing, having kids do their little whatever it is they're doing. It's just an educational thing. But I do know one teacher who was doing a bunch of green screen work, but it was before I actually had this product out, and for him it was just a matter of getting the kids to do creative things. And it seems the schools are still Mac-based when it comes to this stuff.
You've just released a version here that is universal binary now, so this works on either flavor of the Mac.
I just put that on the website a couple days ago. I just got my first iMac with the Intel box.
Yeah, that's a nice experience, huh?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really put it through its paces. You know, when a machine first shows up, it's pretty much useless because none of the software that's on it is of much use to me, but... But I was looking at it, and it's a pretty impressive little machine. I wish they had the Power Max out, though.
Next month.
I hope not, because I was waiting. I didn't buy an Intel Mac, but I had said, you know what, I've got to be able to test this thing, and if somebody has a bug, I've got to be able to bug shoot it. So
yeah.
So I had to buy something, and I just wanted another Power Mac if I was going to buy something, but it looks like I'm a member of the iMac family.
That's all cool. Now, where do we get more information on the VKey 2? Where can we get a demo, a download? Give us all this information so our listeners know where to go check this out, because this is very cool when it comes in the, you know, for Keen.
Well, if you go to the Oak Street Software website, which is www.oakstreetsoftware.com, actually, you don't need the www, it's just oakstreetsoftware.com if you want. There's a link for the Chroma Key on the navigation bar on the left, or you can put /GKey/ if you're a glutton for punishment. It was originally called Green Key because it was strictly green, and then I revised it. But all the stuff is there. The demo is there for downloading, and the links for buying it, purchasing it, and several example videos and some tips for Chroma Key.
Yeah, there's a great demo on there too. Hey, Doug, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
There you go. That thing is so cool. I mean, this thing rocks. It's a really cool key. You guys really need to download it. There's a free demo. You can check it out. Like you said, oakstreetsoftware.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine, AmericanPhoto.com, or you can just head over to PopPhoto.com and check out all the information there. It's accessible either way. Very cool stuff for the professional digital photographer.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the whole Chroma Key deal is so cool. And I don't know if anybody's seen on the PC, there's one from Serious Magic, a company that's only on the PC,
mm-hmm.
that does incredible keying, and it's vector-based.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could do the same quality like you're getting from Serious Magic's Ultra Keyer.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it on your Mac now.
Yeah, I think...
it's a vector-based keyer, where the other keyers don't really do vector-based keying with it.
Yeah, I think I mean, what's amazing about it is, of course, the price. I mean, this is...
$59.
$59. I mean, versus paying like $200 or something, or buying Shake or something.
Go get a Primat plugin.
Yeah.
It costs like $1,000 or more.
Yeah, it's really affordable for anybody. So, I mean, it's really, if you're a consumer and you want to do some neat things with Chroma Key, maybe you want to put together a little family video and you want to change the background. You want to make the kids, you know, standing in front of a screen that's snowing in the background, or they could be standing in front of... a beach or something like that, and saying stuff, that would be good, you know, good option just for the basic consumer stuff. This is all affordable now. This is all something that you can do.
It is. I mean, there's a, if anybody's seen the podcast called Geek Brief TV.
Oh, Kali Lewis. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They use all their stuff done in Chroma Key. And they're running actually a really cool piece of software that lets you do all this stuff in one, and I forgot the name of it. Either way, they're doing this over Chroma Key if you want to check out what it looks like, and it's pretty cool, and it's not even vector-based keying.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're probably
they're shooting with a small, and I think they're even using a single chip camera. They might be using a 3-chip camera.
Yeah,
but they just shoot it and
boom,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, what's so nice about digital video is that there's all these options. You know, it's not just a matter of you're shot with it and you're stuck with it. And you bring this into a Mac and you can make something incredible with it. You can take your basically your small little consumer, you know, 1-chip camera and turn something in, you know, really great out with iMovie and with some of these inexpensive.
And
plugins.
We should play with this actually, because we shot some footage at NAB using the.
That's right. Yeah, with the Reflect Media.
Reflect Media's Chroma Key background.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should try it with his plugin.
Yeah, see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it's really intense. It's really
good.
Because
you did the Lakini on the last one. It's a little difficult.
It was really impossible. A lot of fine detail just disappeared because, again, in the camera that we were using just didn't have the color information.
Well, we were shooting, and if people don't know that on mini DV, the regular consumer cameras all the way up to, you know, a $5,000, it doesn't matter. If it's shooting on the 25 megabit digital video, DV, mini DV format,
mm-hmm.
you only have 411, so you lose a lot of this color resolution.
Yeah, there's nothing for the keyer to grab onto to remove the background. You know,
right, so that's why if you're going to do a lot of chroma key work, you're better off shooting in something with a higher bit rate like DVC Pro 50.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the new Panasonic HVX200, the high def camera, mm-hmm. you can shoot in standard def, but in 422 color space using a 50 megabit. So you have twice the amount of data going to the storage thing instead of tape,
mm-hmm.
the P2 card, or whatever you're going to use. Or if you had a camera that shot DVC Pro 50 on a tape, either way, you have 422 that gives you twice as much color. You can key great, bang.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But for even for the consumer.
Or buy a red and you can shoot 444.
Yeah, there you
go. Then you will have beautiful keys.
Yeah, well, you can't buy a red yet. That's next year, I think. But it's great stuff. I mean, really, I want to play around with this Vector Key and just try it out and see what we can, you know, what you can do just as a home consumer, or what you could do as just a, you know, as a regular person, you know, with it. Because,
well, the thing with this, let's say you need to shoot some stuff, okay, instead of having to go out to location and deal with scrims and light and this and that and all these environmental elements you have to do if you want to shoot outside. If you're in a studio, then you got to do the whole lighting, all this other stuff. You can get the Chromate Keyer, the ones from the guys in the UK.
Reflect Media.
Reflect Media Keyer. It's about $2,000 for the kit and this kind of plug-in. And you can pop this thing up at anywhere.
Yeah.
In a bedroom.
Yeah.
In a hallway. You're at a hotel and you're on location, you need to shoot something. And just throw the background in.
Yeah.
So you can go out and just shoot some cool B-roll, or just take a still photographer.
Yeah.
You know, just take a digital camera, shoot the background. You can animate the background in Final Cut, set in keyframes, and then throw this on. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program here with Scott Shepard and Brad White. We'll be back after a few moments here.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here today with Scott Shepard and Brad White. And the Inside Mac Radio Program has been brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MC Technologies, and of course our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. How are we doing today, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, Scott.
Yeah, we had a cool show so far. We had a great guest on. We had Phil talking about the rant of the week.
Oh, yeah, he did rant. Yeah.
Yeah, about these guys writing articles and talking about stuff they have no clue about.
Yeah.
There's no way to be able to just do this little zappy firmware upgrade on some $40 DVD player to make it encode H.264. More big, nice, shiny rocks in their glass pipe.
Yeah.
Cook it up.
Got to keep them happy.
Unbelievable. Sam Levin was on talking about his cool Mac picks for the week. Andy Schallert with his MacBook.
Yeah, his new
regular,
MacBook.
His MacBook update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to basically upgrade the RAM. But you can. What's nice is you can take one of these new MacBooks, pull the cover off, and do all the upgrades yourself. So
that
you can get it and save
a bunch
of money.
Neat, yeah.
Yeah. Like get that new 160 from 160 gigabyte hard drive from MCE. That thing
is
that pretty
sweet. Smoking.
Yeah.
Big storage.
Yeah.
But do you really need that much storage? And your
I'm maxed. I got 100 gig, and I'm maxed, baby. In this MacBook, I'm maxed in this 100 gig.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Okay, I got 100 gig, and then 160 gig, then a 300 gig, then a 16 terabytes in my laptop. Right.
Uh huh.
It's the same thing of people buying a big house, 1,200 square feet, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. Is it just more room to store more junk? Is it just turns into a big repository for just garbage?
Well, no, it's like
when
some
you should
of this,
really keep up on your machine and like throw away stuff and archive things and back up data. And
it's not easy actually, because you know, there's a certain amount when you start getting a lot of pieces of software on your machine. They all have, like, you know, soundtrack. Take the whole Final Cut Studio. You install Motion, you install a few sample templates on there, and those are kind of things that you like to do every day. Well, that's like, you know, basically 50 gigabytes gets chewed up really fast, and then you add a few photos in there. And so at I've got a 100 gig drive and I'm maxed, and I'm trying to just, you know, stretch to find space on this thing. It's very easy to do.
Right, and here's the problem you run into, okay? You have a 100 gig drive in your new MacBook Pro,
mm-hmm.
and it's at like 80% right now, or 90, right?
Oh, it's, yeah, about 99.
Well, guess, now it's really slow because it's writing on the inside of the disk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's so like your performance degrades even more and more.
Yep.
So is this something that people should actually spend more time on and actually deal with data management?
Oh, it's tough, you know. I mean, I think it really is difficult to figure out what you can save and what you can lose on this software, because they have all this media that's installed on it, and you have to really work hard to figure out what you need and what you don't need, because suddenly you might go to open one of these pieces of software and you're like, oh no, I don't have this template or this sample or whatever it is, this photo that I need right now. And so it really is tough. We need a terabyte on these laptops, and we need it today, you know. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not soon enough, you know.
I make a force of habit of, like, once a month going through, and if I haven't used that, it's on my drive in a month.
Yeah.
Then it goes on to a backup deal, off to another hard drive.
Yeah.
And I haven't really found very often it's like, oh, I wish I had that file.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely of... one of those people that practices good techniques for data organization and cleaning the stuff up.
Well, you have to now. Spotlight helps a lot now. You can be a complete blithering, just a fool and a slob.
Yeah.
The little piggy rolling around on the hard drive, and it'll find it in Spotlight. So you don't have to keep track of anything. You can just throw everything in one folder. Stuff. Pouring in. Back the concrete truck up and fill her up. But really, I mean, the whole thing, and I think that's a problem that people run into, and you get issues with hard drive and directory stuff and problems with your computers. You don't keep stuff in the right places. They put applications in other folders. They don't keep the hierarchical structure of the way the Macintosh hard drive comes from Apple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it just gets, you know, that's something to talk about. You know, data management. That's
yes.
a problem.
Big, big issue.
That's why Larry Ellison's rich. Data management, brother. Oracle. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to talk about more cool Mac goodies. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and want all kinds of cool tips on InDesign, Go Live, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, you name it, check them out over at creativepro.com. We have a very cool guest with us right now. They've just done a really neat deal called Photographer of the Year. And we have with us Jack Howard from Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. How you doing, Jack?
Doing great, Scott. How are you?
Good. So you guys just got done doing the Photographer of the Year for 2006.
Yes, we did.
Tell us about that and how that went.
It was amazing. We had three photographers who were selected out of a pool of several thousand who were chosen as the finalists. They came into New York City to the headquarters of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine and were given five assignments over the course of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And basically had anywhere from 24 to 72 hours to get the assignment, shoot the assignment, do all their post-production, burn them to CDs, and hand them in and be judged on them. There was an amazing diversity of assignments, challenges, and images handed in by the three contestants. We had contestants from around the world. One of the contestants, Henry Fernando, is from Canada, Ontario, Canada. The most local person was Paul Klein from Gaithersburg, Maryland, and our eventual winner, Roberto Suarez Gomez, flew all the way in from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and the three of them just shot their hearts out all week long. It was really inspiring to see what they were doing with the challenges and with the intense deadline pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a grueling assignment here, too.
Yes, they absolutely were.
Very diverse, I might, you know. So I guess on the first day, or the first one, they had to go out and shoot a, what? What was it for? How'd this all run down here?
Monday morning, as they showed up and got the lowdown as to what exactly they had gotten themselves into, they were given two assignments. Bag us a celebrity. They had it all the way until Thursday morning with their final hand in to try to accomplish that. And they had 24 hours to produce an 8-photograph photo essay for a fictional magazine entitled City Life, about life in New York City. And Henry Fernando drew the assignment pigeons. Roberto Gomez drew street performers, and Paul Klein drew tourists. And over the course of the day, they ranged the width and breadth of Manhattan, searching for angles and inspiration and interesting images to come up with a photo essay about things that are just so intrinsic to the New York experience, and at the same time, ridiculously challenging. And we knew that, the funny thing is, it's 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. There's not a lot of tourists out. There's not a lot of street performers out. Henry, you know, had a little bit of an easier go with that, jumping right out of the gate, because pigeons are pretty much around the clock. But they had that, create a magazine spread in 24 hours.
Wow. And now, how'd the celebrity deal go?
They actually all did pretty well with it. We had a feeling that that at least one of them might not come back with something, but they all nailed at least one celebrity shot. And Henry Fernando actually nailed 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the photos for this one on the site, and actually I don't see the celebrity photos on it. I see the assignments. Was there some reason to not... I was trying to find all of the winners here.
Those photos will actually be posted Monday.
Oh, okay.
They will be online. There was a little bit of a backlog with getting everything posted, but they will be live on Monday. The last two assignments, the events and the celebrity photos, will be posted Monday morning.
Now, what kind of gear and workflow were these guys using?
Two of them were shooting Canon. One of them was shooting Nikon. A couple of them brought PC laptops. Paul Klein brought his Mac PowerBook. They had access to anything in the Popular Photography and Imaging building as far as gear and computers goes. Paul used our Epson 4800 printer to print a backdrop for one of the shots for his goldfish assignment. They had access to our studio. They used our big studio lights. Paul wanted to do a studio shoot while someone else had the studio, so he borrowed a couple of the Alien Bees, which are small, ultra-compact studio lights, and set himself up a tabletop studio in a back corner of the lab. As much as they could carry. They all brought tripods, camera bags, every lens you could imagine, from wide angle to super telephoto, and just shot, and then post-production. They did a fantastic job with it.
So who was on the judging panel that actually said, okay, you guys are going to be this is going to be the winner, second place, and I'm sure this took quite a while to judge all these wonderful photos.
It took all Thursday morning for 12 members of the Popular Photography and Imaging editorial staff to go through the take from each assignment and figure out who scored best on each assignment and then determine the overall winner. Anytime we have contest judging up there, it's pretty much at least a half-day event. You've got between 10 and 15, photographic and imaging experts in a room who all have different experiences, different eyes, and different backgrounds, and it's such an interesting process.
Was there anybody that got real hot and heavy on the judge stuff and someone saying, yeah, this is good, no, this is not good, and they sort of get into a little bit of a battle a bit over, personal opinion on a specific photo or anything, or was it all pretty much straightforward, just a lot of talk?
There's a little bit of discussion. It's always friendly, but it does, there are
people. Nobody threw a chair at somebody else.
There are people who lobby for, their particular favorite and can't understand why. We thought this person's goldfish images were stronger than that person's, when I couldn't understand why this person thought this street essay was better than that person's. It's all in good fun, and it's all democratic, and everyone gets an equal vote. So it was actually very interesting. That it was just inspiring to see the shots that these guys came up with under such extreme deadline pressure.
Were these guys shooting with the top-end Canon or just the bottom-end Nikon, or were these all like just the top-end cameras they were shooting with?
Pretty much prosumer and pro. I mean, Roberto Gomez, he was shooting with a 5D, and I believe he also had a 1D Mark II and with him. Henry was shooting with the Nikon D70, and Paul had a 5D and a 20D with him.
Wow. Hey, Jack, we're coming to the break. Hold on one sec, would you?
Okay.
We're here with Jack Howard, the associate editor for PopPhoto.com, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. You can check him out at PopPhoto.com. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio Program is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to go to get all your software updates for the Mac. Check them out at macupdate.com. We're here with Jack Howard, the Associate Editor for Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. Now, Jack, where can people go to find out more information on the Photographer of the Year and all the cool stuff you guys are going on over at Pop Photo?
They can check out our website, www.popphoto.com.
Excellent. Now, for, let's say people want to actually get into next year's 2007, I'm assuming this has a early entry, preliminary stuff, and you guys go through multiple rounds of thousands of entries to get to this point, yeah?
Yes, it does. We have a call for entries, which will be in early spring of 2007, and then we select the editorial staff, edits that down to 10 semifinalists. We then post each semifinalist's four-shot portfolio on our website, and the viewers and readers of the magazine vote to pick the top three, who then come to New York to compete in the shootout.
Wow, what a cool thing. Now, real quick here, tell us about some of the other stuff going, because I know there's a bunch of things going on. You guys just completely have redone popphoto.com.
Yes, we have.
So is there anything else been added to Pop Photo that wasn't previously due? It was on the other old website, and I know, let's talk about your guys' podcast here real quick.
We're really moving the website towards a much more multimedia experience, including podcasts on everything from interviews with photo personalities to Debbie Grossman's Photoshop how-to tips and everything in between. We're doing a lot more with the camera testing and showing. This isn't so much podcast, but we're doing a lot more with image galleries and using what we can on the website that to expand things that we don't necessarily have a place for in, the printed magazine. So, for example, when we can only have one shot for an image quality shot to show what a lens or a camera is like, on the website we'll have, 10 or 12. And we're testing a lot more cameras. We're really putting up a lot more web extra content, and we're really trying to have fresh content up all the time, especially when we know there are cameras coming out that people are going to be very interested in. We want to have fresh content right when we're allowed to release it, as opposed to just a press release. We want people to know what we know about this camera and get this information to camera enthusiasts as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, the website's beautiful. It's great. There's so much more content on there. Like you said, you can only fit so much on a printed magazine. You're limited to size, how many pages, and you have that backlog of when the stuff's done and printed and sent out. Where the website, you can put it up and bang, it's there now. So, really cool stuff, and I guess everybody would go to popphoto.com, correct?
Absolutely. That's the website, popphoto.com, the online home of Popular Photography and Imaging, and our sister magazine, American Photo.
Hey, Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Cool stuff there. Like you said, that was an amazing challenge. Beautiful. The photos are great. Most of the stuff's up there. So it's interesting to see who these guys were able to pull out of New York City. I know they found Cooper Anderson and Pee-wee.
Ah.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah. So one of the guys on the thing, Henry, was actually able to, he nailed down a couple really good close up front shots of these guys. So I guess you go and hang out by the CNN building or ABC
and you just catch people coming in and out. Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Stalkers.
That's cool.
It's cool they can get that kind of stuff. So all the stuff will be up there, and most of it's up there now. Just go to popphoto.com. Great magazine.
All right.
Cool stuff. And now we're here. Hello, Dina.
Hi.
We're here with Dina Orlando's with us. So we're going to talk about some news here coming up after the break and some other things going on. Dina's going to be with us for the rest of the show. So cool stuff there. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dina Orlando. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. Next up, we're going to talk about some of the current Mac happenings this past week. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. If you need business cards, mates, flyers, brochures, from anything, Fireworks, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, InDesign, Go Live, Cork, it doesn't matter, anything, hatch it on there with a crayon, they'll print it. Cool stuff. Check them out, printingforless.com. We're here with Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News Program, and we're going to talk about some interesting stories this week in the Lando Mac.
Yeah, I picked some of the stories that I thought were, you know, the most interesting throughout the week.
Yeah, what's your hot pick of the week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've got, let's see, I've got about five or six hot picks.
Really?
Maybe more. I haven't counted correctly. I'm that little girl who lost interest in math, like that last PSA said.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to count. So anyway, shall I?
Sure.
All right, cool. The Podcast Satellite Network will be offering podcasters the opportunity to purchase airtime on an all-podcast satellite radio broadcast. It uses free-to-air satellite radio, and it offers both radio and TV digital broadcasts. Listeners in North America are able to listen to it at no cost, and that makes the free-to-air programming extremely attractive to a growing number of consumers. Local AM and FM stations can now freely rebroadcast the satellite feed, and this is also going to expand listening audience to another market as well.
Really?
Did you hear about that?
So people are going to actually try to tune into audio on a K-band satellite to listen to a podcast?
Yeah.
Wait, now it's a K-band. How do you get one of these receivers?
You know, the story didn't say. It didn't say at all. It just said that they're working on it, and hopefully soon they're going to be offering it to podcasters. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How much are they charging for this? Do you remember what they said?
They didn't say any price. All they're talking mostly about free-to-air satellite, so that's free for the podcasters.
Got a deal for anybody listening right now. We'll put you on ABC Star Guide for $3 a minute. If you want real radio, call 800-490-0058. $3 a minute, dude, and you're on real radio, not K-band, so the aliens can listen to you.
Aliens.
Next up
is the Nielsen ratings. There is a lot of news about the ratings for iPods. This one is, they revealed that 9.2 million web users have recently downloaded an audio podcast, and 5.6 million web users have recently downloaded a video podcast. Podcasting is now on par with those who publish blogs, so it's growing more and more.
Wow, in 1 year, that's a massive growth.
Yeah. Yeah, the report claims that young people are more likely to download an audio or video podcast. For example, users between the ages of 18 and 24 are nearly twice as likely as the average web user to download audio podcasts, followed by users in the 25 to 34 and 35 to 44 age groups, who are also more than likely than the average web user to have their own podcast. Apple's iPod is the main reason for the podcasting boom, and not surprisingly, audio and video podcasters are over three times as likely as the average web user to use Apple Safari, that's me, as a primary internet browser. According to the story, audio podcasters are more likely to visit Macworld.com, and video podcasters are more likely to visit StarTrek.com. You're a video podcaster, aren't you, Brad?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Do you visit StarTrek.com?
No, not really.
Starship
they
Exeter.
They actually were one of my first customers,
really?
Believe it or not. Yeah. So I did talk to those guys early on. That was years ago. So yeah, that's just kind of a funny thing. They were just using, they're taking Star Trek from the DVDs and putting it on StarTrek.com.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was really interesting. Yeah, I was like, wow, so you guys are taking your own stuff and then it's going on the web. Ah, that's cool. Yeah, stuff.
Well, along with that study, Solutions Research Group conducted a study of digital music market as well. It showed that females are downloading more and more. In fact, it showed that women between the ages of 30 and 49 years old have produced the biggest year-over-year growth. It showed that iPod ownership among women grew by 33%, which tripled in 2006. The survey also showed that 23% more people are buying music online. They said in the past that people are using iTunes to just upload their CD library into it, but now they're saying that more and more people are buying music as well.
Dude, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And you're going to stay with us for the rest of the program,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Cool. Next up here, we're going to have 9-time Emmy Award winner, producer of the Olympics, ABC Wide World of Sports, the man Peter Lasser. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges. You can listen to this Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're joined with Peter Lasser. Peter's an incredible television producer, 9-time Emmy Award winner, used to do ABC Sports, Wide World of Sports. He was the producer-director at the Olympics in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Sydney, Athens, Lake Placid, Sarajevo, and more and more and more. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good talking to you, Scott.
You too. Now tell us, you got a brand new program you're working on, and you've been doing this television production for years with NFL Films and Wintercom and NBC Sports and all these other guys. You guys got a brand new show you're doing. Tell us about it.
We just started this past spring with International Fight League, which is a mixed martial arts fighting organization, and it's a new concept in that they're organized in teams as opposed to just individuals fighting for themselves. So we got our first three shows off this spring with a four-team tournament. They've expanded already to eight teams, and we're starting again in September with the next round and crowning a champion just before New Year's.
This is done in normal television production. That's how we're going to put the little Max spin on this here, that you guys shoot these in an 18-wheeler on a digital truck, correct?
That's correct.
So this is done with seven cameras, and they all feed into the television truck.
Right.
But the cool thing is you guys are using small handheld camera and the Maxif to do your features. Tell us about how all this works.
Well, we've been working. The league purchased Panasonic 200, and we've also got a couple of Canon XL2s, so we've been using those cameras to shoot our features, which gives you a whole lot more flexibility when you're trying to do some run and gun behind the scenes. We're going to do a lot of behind the scenes shooting that'll come out eventually in DVDs for the league. So that gives you a lot of flexibility just moving around chasing, and also gives you the same quality look for the sit-down interviews that you're getting off the bigger digital beta cams.
Yeah, so back in the past, you know, you'd strap one of these giant shoulder mounts to your shoulder, effectively, these huge cameras with, like, you know, $30,000 pieces of glass, and now you're doing it with $5,000 or under, really, cameras.
Right, and getting the same quality, and when it comes to post-production, getting a whole lot more flexibility. Now you don't need a big beta, you know, $100,000 digital beta tape machine set up. It can be as simple as taking it off the camera straight to a hard drive or straight into a Mac.
Now, how have you seen all the stuff change? Because you've been producing sports television, Peter, since, what, 78, maybe even a little earlier?
I've been in the business producing since 81, but, you know, in the business in some entry-level positions before that. And, yeah, it's changed from when I started in the business. Tape was called quad. It's 2-inch width. To be able to carry four 90-minute tapes was the mark of a man in the business.
It wasn't 100 pounds. It wasn't, you know, it was just, that was for wimps, you know. It wasn't 100 pounds of gear. It was nothing.
You know, you had all that, and everything was kind of based on taking up so much space, both in the TV truck and in the edit rooms, and goes a little before my time, but not so much more before my time that the guys had talked to me about when they used to actually physically edit the videotape.
Yeah, by cutting it.
By cutting it. They'd look at the sync patterns through a microscope and decide where to make the cut, you know, just as you would have with audio tape as they were doing in radio. So the tape got from 2-inch wide to 1-inch. When we went to the Lake Placid Olympics, everything went to 1-inch. After that, you know, eventually to beta. Smaller and smaller formats, now you can carry a couple of pocketfuls of mini DV tapes will get you through a whole weekend of shooting.
Now, how have you seen this actually change the whole revolution of sports TV? What now that you can edit stuff on a PowerBook and you can use Final Cut and you can buy a camera for around $5,000, has this made the entry point easier to get into television production, or has it made it harder for you guys that are doing the real stuff because now everybody is trying to get into the program? Or how's all this sort of, has it helped you a lot, or has it actually been sort of a hinder too?
No, it's been a huge help. You know, you still want to maintain your quality, and that's an important part of this. You can't just, for the quality that we're trying to do with this Fight League and other programs I'm doing, you can't just hand, you know, some kid out of high school or college a camera and say, go shoot this stuff. There's still elements of lighting and all that that contribute to putting out good pictures. But what it does do between not only the editing systems but the capability of email, we go into one of these fights, and what can happen and does happen sometimes is you'll have somebody out of the 11 fights on the card. Somebody's going to get sick the night before, turn their ankle, do something, and have to pull out. Now you got to replace that fighter. And for us, it's as simple as, you know, get the camera, shoot the guy, call our animation guy who's in Baltimore and say, hey, I need a new title page with this guy's name. He emails us the animation. We're taking it on the Mac with the video we've shot, and all of a sudden we've got an opening introduction for this guy. It's going to look just like all the other introductions for everybody else on the card. And can do that, you know, an associate producer or editor can do it in their room at the hotel overnight and have it ready for the show the next morning, put it out to a DV tape, take it to the truck, bump it up, and we're off and running.
So this is sort of like your crew is actually sort of could be anywhere around the country producing elements for your show because you've got the internet and a high-speed link.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as we can pass things back and forth as QuickTime movies or whatever, and you got to be careful about the quality when you're sending that or they're putting it up on FTP sites and we're taking it down that way. But with the broadband connection, we're, you know, getting things the same quality as they're being made in the edit room or the animation room, wherever that is. And in the old days, it was, you know, you got to get a courier, you got to make it back in New York at the studio, and you got to get it couriered overnight. A lot of headache and expense to make things all match, and now it's become a lot more convenient. And it's one less thing. One of the things is in the old days when you did that, you'd still have to go in, and we'd be all night editing in the truck up to airtime to be able to get things ready. Now you have tape guys, you have a technical director, you have audio people, truck maintenance people. So all those people are on the clock. Now you're taking the video all into your Mac, and you've got one person on the clock.
Wow. So really, the same kind of computer that you can buy, go down to your Apple store and buy, is the stuff that's producing high-quality professional video for you guys.
Yes.
Now, Peter, when you guys are shooting the stuff on the severed camera shoots, and this is going digitally from, like, what, Grass Valley or some kind of camera in through a Tri-X pack into the truck, right?
Right.
And you guys shoot the packages, the small features, with the HVX200 or an XL2. Do you see a big difference in quality when you guys are showing a piece of broadcast tape that comes off one of the seven cameras into the truck versus something that was shot on the mini DV?
Well, part of what we tend to do is with the feature elements, we're going to film look them so that they have a little different look.
Right.
So you don't get in that situation of matching things up. But I've found, especially in outdoor events, you don't have much of a problem. When you have lots of light, those cameras work great. As the light comes down a little bit, they'll tend to not stand up to what a big camera can do.
Right, because a big camera's got a $30,000 piece of glass on it.
And a bigger sensor and all of that stuff. And so it's lower light, yeah.
Yep.
Now, you guys are doing this, like I said, with a mobile technologies television truck. It's all digital, seven cameras, and all this cool stuff. Is there other shows you know of that are doing sports programming that are shooting pretty much exclusively on, like, mini DV-style cameras and doing all this stuff in post on computers and not even using trucks anymore?
A lot of the more run-and-gun television of all the outdoor programming that you'd find on ESPN on a Saturday morning.
So the outdoor, the hunter deal, where they're going looking for Bambi and this deal and the fishing show, they're all doing this on small cameras.
Looking for Bambi with an AK-47.
You're right. So they're out there, and again, it's much easier to take a couple of guys out with some small cameras and move around in the woods and get the things that you need to get to make those shows. There's, you know, because of the timeliness of what we do, and the reason we use the truck, the reason we shoot it that way, is even though it doesn't air live, and down the road we will air live, but right now we're turning the show around in anywhere from overnight to a week. We're basically relying on that seven camera live to tape cut to put on the air.
Peter, we're coming to break. Can you hold on one second? When we get back, I want to give people more information how they can get more information on your guys' new show.
Absolutely.
We're here with Peter Lasser. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio program brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want all the information for your Mac, tips, tricks, information on the Apple Developer Connection, news, software updates, you name it, you can go to osxfaq.com. We're here with Peter Lasser, and we've been talking about current production of sports programming and how they're doing stuff with small cameras and the Mac. And we've been talking about Peter's brand new television program on the fight stuff. So, Peter, what's the name of the program? Where can people view this stuff at? And how would they get a hold of Lasser Productions if someone wants to get a hold of you, if you guys do extra kinds of work and that type of stuff?
Well, the league is called the International Fight League. It's IFL.TV on the web. We've got two shows coming up that are already set in September, the 9th of September in Portland, Oregon, 23rd of September in Moline, Illinois. And right now I can't tell you where they're going to air because they're in the midst of negotiations. Our first set of shows were on FSN, so we may be back there, we may be someplace else, and that'll probably be announced shortly.
Excellent. Does Lasser Productions have a website, or you guys pretty much do private contract work? And
handle it through private contract work, and so I don't use a website for that, but maybe I got to talk to you about getting one.
Yeah, there you go. You guys do a lot of stuff with Wintercom, too, so if anybody wants to go look at what type of stuff that Peter does, they can go over to Wintercom website, and a lot of that stuff's up there.
Exactly.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Good talking to you, and we'll see you again soon.
Yep. Thanks, Peter. Cool stuff there.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so Dina, yes. What else we got going on in the news this week?
Oh, well, thanks for that. Hey.
Thought we'd get a few more things in there because we were getting hitting some cool stuff last time.
Apple scores the high marks in customer satisfaction according to a report released by research firm Satmetric Systems. It is one of the most top-rated technology companies for consumer satisfaction. The report looked at online services, computing, and consumer service sectors of the high technology industry. It showed areas of business that would impact a customer to recommend their products or service. The vice president of research and business consulting said that Apple's score far outranked its closest competitor and is well known for its dedicated customer base. So a lot of good news for Apple. Always topping the charts, it seems like. They're always in at least the top 10. And Red Hot Chili Peppers are also deciding to go with iTunes. They're going to be having their songs on iTunes in March, but I'm still waiting for Metallica. Metallica's still not doing it, and there's some songs that I want to download. I'm not a fan enough to buy their whole CD, but I like a few of their songs, but they aren't doing it, and it's making me upset. I wonder when they're going to do it.
When there's nobody else selling CDs in the entire world, I imagine. And that won't be long the way it's going, I tell you.
Yeah, they're holdout, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time you bought? I can't think of the last time I bought a CD. It's been like 2 years, I think.
I don't buy CDs anymore either. Why?
Yeah.
You get a bunch of songs that you don't like for two songs that you do. So it doesn't make sense to buy CDs anymore.
Just go to iTunes and click away.
Yeah. Exactly. Awesome.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Cool stuff going on. You can listen to Dina's News every day on iTunes. Just go over there and type in Inside Mac. You can subscribe to that. Go to InsideMacRadio.com. Check it out at Mac Minute. All other kinds of cool places. We had some great guests today.
Yes, we did.
We had our normal cats on. We had Philip Hodges doing his digital post-production news. Andy Schallert with a graphic tip of the week talking about the new MacBook. We had Sam Levin on doing his cool Mac picks with more iPod goodies. Doug Toltzman on from Oak Street Software talking about a cool Chroma Key plug-in unit. So we had a little bit of video stuff this week. Cool how to do vector keying. So if you want to do something like our friends over there at Geek Brief, Callie Lewis.
Yeah.
Cool stuff over there. You can check out what they're doing. They're doing Chroma Key. So pretty cool podcast. You can check their deal out. We had Jack Howard on, the associate editor at Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, talking about the Photographer of the Year Award, how they went through the whole deal there. Of course, Dina here doing the Mac News. We had the legendary 9-time Emmy Award-winning producer-director Peter Lasser on, talking about their brand new television show and how all this stuff works and how they're using the Macintosh to do all this little feature stuff in actually real broadcast television. No Gertie podcast there, man. Cool stuff there. And then, of course, you've been here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. The Inside Mac Show has been brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners of Pop Photo, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Bus. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. We'll be back with you next week with more cool stuff on your Mac.